risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
So good morning. Welcome to Emmanuel and to our Easter worship today. A couple of things before we begin. First of all, if you do not have a bulletin, know that everything will be on the screen up here, so hopefully you can see that. Inside your bulletin, you will find something that looks like this. There should be one for every family. Now, there's one in every bulletin, but I would like for every family to fill one out. We're going to do this right away today and get it out of the way. So if you've already filled it out, because that is our drill, every single worship service, so that we might stay connected. We're going to do it just a little bit differently today. We're going to fill out the whole thing. Yes, I know change is difficult, but we're going to do this once a year on Easter. So take out your card. We're all going to do this together. I'm going to do it with you. Put today's date, 4/20/25. Service time, this is 8 o'clock. Your family name, Tiemann. Now, you don't write Tiemann. You write your name. And then, who is here with you today? And check whether you're a first-time guest, a returning guest, a regular attendee, or an Emmanuel member. Just one little check. And then, if you'd like more information about Emmanuel, you can check that as well. And now, this is the important part for us, because we are going to use this to upgrade our database system. I know that a lot of you do this every single week. Well, we want to make sure that we have your address, your email, and your phone numbers absolutely correct. So take a moment right now, fill it all out. Address, city, state, and zip code. Your best email. Now, I know in your family, there are probably several of them. What is your best family email? In my house, it would be S. Tiemann. That's the person to know. So that's the one I'm writing. Primary phone and secondary. For most of us these days, it is our cell phone. So that's what I'm writing. Again, I'm writing Sharon's phone number. All right. So hopefully you've done that. Now we're going to turn to the back, because oftentimes we forget this part. If you have any prayer request whatsoever, there's nothing too small. Our staff, our prayer teams, lift these up. It's confidential. Only our team and the Lord knows, unless you want us to speak the prayers at a worship service. You can put a little note to that. Otherwise, they'll be between us and the Lord. And then my next steps. Next week, we're beginning a wonderful series called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. Most of us just rush through life way too quickly, and we don't appreciate, we don't celebrate, we don't take the time to do those things that are important for this life, but also eternally important. So we're going to take 6 weeks to go through this. I would love for all of you to be a part of it. We're also beginning small group series on the same topic, but whether you do that or not, whether you just do it with your family or individually, check the box, even if you can't make it for the entire time, to be here as much as possible or to listen online. And then this year, Mother's Day comes up in 3 weeks, 3 weeks after Easter. Easter is late this year. We're going to have a very special Mother's Day worship service with all our family and friends, so you can check that box. And then we have a flyer inside about all the wonderful events this summer here at Emmanuel, so you can check that as well. And finally, if there's anything else that you'd like to have more information about or get involved in, you can check it at the bottom. So is everybody done? Raise your hand if you're done. Clap your hands if you're done. All right, good job. At the end of the service, you can either give this to an usher, they'll be at the tables here in the back, or you can put it in the basket. So we are here to worship, and so we are going to begin. Let's all rise, turn, and face the cross at the back.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory?
O death, where is your sting?
The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law.
But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia. My beloved brothers and sisters, let us confess our sins to God our Father. I confess to you, most merciful God, that I have sinned against you in my thoughts, words, and deeds, those that I have done, as well as the good I have failed to do. It is my own sin that condemns me. In your mercy, and according to your promise, forgive me my sins, create a new heart in me, restore to me the joy of your salvation, for the sake of Jesus Christ, my Lord and my God. Amen.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God to you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated for the choral anthem.
St. George.
Almighty God, the Father, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, you have overcome death and opened the gate of everlasting life to us. Grant that we, who celebrate with joy the day of our Lord's resurrection, may be raised from the death of sin by your life-giving Spirit. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We invite forward our reader for today, Jeff Risner, for our readings.
The Old Testament reading comes from Jeremiah chapter 31. At that time, declares the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they will be my people. This is what the Lord says. The people who survive the sword will find favor in the wilderness. I will come to give rest to Israel. The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. I will build you up again, and you, virgin Israel, will be rebuilt. Again, you will take up your timbrels and go out to dance with the joyful. Again, you will plant vineyards on the hills of Samaria. The farmers will plant them and enjoy their fruit. There will be a day when watchmen cry out on the hills of Ephraim, Come, let us go up to Zion, to the Lord our God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson comes from Colossians chapter 3. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel comes from Matthew chapter 28. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.' This is the word of the Lord."
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated.
Try that again. Some events in life are bigger than we are able to fully comprehend. Would you agree with that? There are just some events that are so big, they're so huge, that we don't fully comprehend or even appreciate what that day brings. For example, many years ago, I graduated from college. And I decided that I was going to skip the graduation. I'm a 20-year-old. I had been to been to school, you know, my whole life. I was tired of school. I was in Nebraska. It was going to be a really hot, muggy day in an auditorium, something like this one. And I decided that I was just going to skip it all together. Now, there was one minor detail, and that was that I had actually flunked out of organic chemistry, and so I wasn't going to graduate anyways. Like I said, minor detail. However, I had to spend that day sitting where you are in the auditorium with my parents because my twin brother was graduating. What a miserable day that was, watching him go across the stage to get his diploma when I was out there. Now, I have to admit that, you know, all this time later, as I have had time to reflect, I just couldn't appreciate the magnitude and the importance of that day. Well, sometimes I think we feel that way or we get that way on Easter. Now, we know it's an important day. We know it is the most important day in the church year and hopefully in our life in this calendar year. And yet so often we don't fully capture the meaning. No matter how many times we've gathered here, no matter how many times we have sung Christ the Lord is risen today, no matter how many times we hear the pomp and the ceremony and the trumpets, we view the beautiful flowers, we listen to the gospel message, there's a possibility that we won't comprehend. In fact, there is the possibility that we might even leave today a bit disappointed. Now, I won't mention any names. However, there is a lady who, after one of these Easter services, came up to me, was standing there at the door and shaking hands as everyone was leaving, and she said, "Pastor, it just didn't do it for me this year." We won't mention any names. Sometimes it just doesn't, does it? Sometimes we leave here today feeling disappointed. Well, I want to ask you this morning, could it be, if you are disappointed, if you leave disappointed, it's because you came here with the wrong attitude in the first place, like I did so many years ago at my graduation? Or that you've missed the purpose of why we're actually here? I mean, there's all kinds of great reasons to be here today. There's a photo op, I hear. At the end of the service, I invite you to go to do that. It's a great time to get a picture with your family. I always love to see the outfits that people wear. Mine's the same every year, pretty much, but you guys have some really cool stuff that you wear. I don't know, some of you were forced to go here today. Choir, sorry, but thank you for being here. Ushers, greeters, some of you were dragged along. I know when I was a kid, there was a time where I got to wear my only new suit of the year, so that was kind of special. But here's the deal. If Christ is not in the hymns, in the anthems, in the flowers, and in your smiling faces, then where is he? Where is he? That was the question on that first Easter that Mary Magdalene wanted to know. She came early in the morning before the sunrise because her master, her Lord, had been crucified on Friday. The Sabbath was coming and you couldn't bury anyone on the Sabbath, and so very quickly they wrapped him up and they put him in the tomb. Now, along with the other Mary, they had come to do the one last thing that they could do out of love and kindness and finish the wrapping, the embalming, the spices to preserve the body. She's still hurting from that Friday, from all the brutal events, from losing the one that she thought was going to be the Messiah, the one into whom she had put all of her hope. And now he was gone. And to add to that, the body is gone. Maybe his enemies have stolen him as one last injury and insult. And then in the midst of her biggest disappointment, when she's at the lowest point of her life, when she wonders how she will ever go on, he appears. He's alive. He's not dead. And not only is he alive and well, but he says, now I want you to be my messenger. I want you to go and tell all the brothers that I have risen from the grave. Imagine her greatest disappointment has now become an appointment with God himself. And so also, perhaps your disappointments, whatever they might be in this life, whatever celebrations you have missed, whatever relationships you have ruined, whatever mistakes you have made, the same power that transformed our Lord and Savior, that awakened him from the grave, that same power is here in his word and in his sacrament to change your life as well. And that, my friends, is why we are here, to celebrate the marvelous power of Easter. You know, as I thought about our text for today, it occurred to me that there's a striking parallel between Christmas and Easter, right? There's an angel at Christmas coming to the shepherds. There they are, all in the dark, huddled around the campfire. And all of a sudden, a great light appears, and it is an angel with a multitude saying, what? Fear not. Fear not, do not be afraid. And then they went and they shared the message of Jesus' birth. And now here again, Mary and her friend, they're huddled together in the dark early in the morning. And all of a sudden there is a great light and the angel appears and there's an earthquake. And again the words, do not be afraid. You're looking for Jesus who is crucified. He is not here. He is risen just as he said. So, my friends, what are you afraid of? Are you afraid of missing out the great moments of life, the celebration? Are you afraid that you're not going to get what you want out of life? Well, Easter is the message that stop pretending it is Good Friday. It is over. Christ crucified has risen, and he goes with you today. Easter teaches us that as the people of God, God can transform our awful realities into awesome opportunities. Now, you know, in just about every Easter message, I have to tell a little kindergarten story, so here it is. Don't want you to miss it. Because kindergartners, the little ones, they have the most profound insight, don't they? So at a Christian school, first day, kindergarten teachers trying to figure out, because not all of the students come from a Christian background, she wants to know, what do they know? And so she asks them if they know what a cross is. And one little boy, he really doesn't have any clue at all. So she kind of makes a cross out of a bunch of sticks and says, this is the cross, and this is what Jesus died on. And the little boy, he's really disappointed. He doesn't really know who this Jesus is, and he says, oh, that's too bad. That's too bad. But she wants him to know the full story, and so she goes on to tell him. But he doesn't stay dead. On the third day, when he was in the grave, he rises up, and he is alive again. And the little boy now, his eyes get so big, and he says, that's totally awesome. Right? Totally awesome. Amen. I've studied theology my entire life. I actually have two advanced degrees that I actually went across the stage and received. But I don't know if I've ever heard a better definition of Easter. It is totally awesome. Isn't it? And that's why we're here. Because God transforms our awful realities into awesome opportunities. Think about the message of those women. Think about who was there at the cross. Anybody? Who was there at the cross? The women. And John. And all the rest had run away. Nowhere to be found. And yet Jesus says to Mary, go and tell the brothers. He doesn't say go and condemn them because they all ran away. He didn't say I'm going to punish them because they all ran away. He didn't say they were lousy disciples because they weren't here. He said, go and tell the brothers. Those are not words of condemnation. Those are words of grace. And that's the thing about Easter. The devil would lie to you. And he would say that if you make a mistake like that, God's not going to love you anymore. If you haven't followed the commandments perfectly, God's not going to love you anymore. If you haven't thought the perfect thoughts, God is not going to love you anymore. But Easter reminds us that God's truth always has the last word, and that Satan is wrong, and that Jesus wins. Now, you may remember this from last year's Easter sermon. What, you don't remember? It's only been a year. Come on, folks. Well, let me refresh your memory. Last year's sermon was about the Easter joke. Now, I'm not going to tell a joke, but the joke is really a cosmic joke. The devil thinks he's won because Jesus is dead. And so, on the day after Easter, in the Orthodox Church, everyone tells their favorite joke as a reminder that the joke's on the devil and God wins. Think about that. No matter how difficult your life has been, no matter how much life has disappointed you, even if you feel defeated, know that we're going to win because God has won. Not Satan, not the world, not evil, not even death. And that's why Mary could run and tell the disciples the good news. That's the power of Easter. Not just one day a year, but every single day of the year. The power that awakened Jesus from death. The power that raised him from the grave. That same power is available to you every single day. And that power is given to you freely, without any cost to you. You don't have to do anything to earn it or deserve it or to make it happen. It's not dependent on how good you've been or how well you know the Bible. It's simply God's gift. I want to close with this. A lot of us who grew up in the church remember the old Kennedy Evangelism series. Anybody remember those? We'd go and knock on people's doors, and we'd ask the questions, if you died tonight, would you go to heaven? And why should God let you in? So I'm going to ask you that question from up here this morning. If you died tonight and you were at the pearly gates of heaven, what would you say? What would you say? Now, if you answer, or if I answered, because I believe, because I have faith, because I've gone to church, because I know the Bible, we're wrong from the very beginning. Because it's not about me and it's not about you. It needs to be in the third person. So your answer should begin, because he died. I mean, think about it. Going back to Friday and the thief on the cross. I mean, what a colossal, what an immense, what a terrible. I mean, this is a guy who is there and he is cussing along with his friend, using words that the Bible can't even describe, hurling insults. And yet he gets in. I mean, I want to meet that guy in heaven, don't you? You know, what were you thinking, dude? I mean, come on. And yet, you got in. I mean, the guy had never been to a Bible study. He never got baptized. He doesn't know a thing about church membership, and yet, you make it? How did you make it? I mean, that's what the angel, you know, the ones that's in charge, must have said. How'd you get in? And he says, I don't know. And the angel has to say, well, you got to know. How did you get in? I don't know. I got to get a supervisor and figure this out. So he gets the supervisor. I just have a few questions for you. First of all, are you clear on the doctrine of justification by faith? And the guy said, I never heard of it in my life. And what about, I mean, we're in the LCMS after all. What about the inerrancy of Scripture? I don't know. Just this blank stare. On what basis are you here? And he said, the man on the middle cross said, I can come. The man on the middle cross said, I can come. The man on the middle cross who died and who rose again said, you could come. That's why we're here today. The man on the middle cross died and rose again so that you could have hope, so that you could have life, so that you would know that all the promises of God are true, regardless of the disappointments, regardless of the celebrations you might have missed, the mistakes that you've made, the sins you committed, regardless of the reason that you have come here to this place today. We can leave with a new hope, a new attitude, a new purpose. This is your appointment with Jesus himself. And the very same power that raised him from the grave will go with you through the rest of your life. And that, my friend, is something worth celebrating. Amen. 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 Our celebration continues with the Lord's Supper. Pastor Kirk will describe how we're going to go about that this morning.
Very good. Thank you, Pastor Stephen, for that incredible word about the hope we have in our Lord. Before we go through communion, friendly reminder, if you haven't done so already, please fill out your connection card. There's also baskets available that you can put it in on our way out. And I'd encourage you to utilize the QR code on the front of our bulletin. Our Lord, our God, our Heavenly Father gave it all for us to gather here, for us to be here, for us to have hope. I encourage you all to discuss with your family what you might be willing to give to Emmanuel, that we might continue to carry out our mission to touch hearts and transform lives with the light of Christ. Anything that you're willing to give, your generosity is greatly appreciated. Now, communion procedures. So, we are going to do communion a little bit differently than what we do in the common. So, the center two chair areas will be communing at the tables right in front of me. We'll be going down the center aisle. You will take the host, the little wafer, as well as the wine. We have only individual cups for today. The inside has alcohol-free, and the outside is wine. You can take either or. And then once you have received the bread and the wine, you will walk down to the flanking aisles. You will put your individual cups in the little trays there and then return to your seats. That's the orders for the middle two seating areas. For the flanks, we have communion on the sides if you look at these little brown tables. There will be people there distributing as well. You will go on the outside rows. You will come to those small tables, receive the bread and the wine, and then come to the flanking aisles as well, and then return to your seats. Bleachers, you're on your own. I'm kidding. Bleachers, follow the different sections that are right in front of you, and ushers will direct as accordingly if there's different places where people need to go. If you need gluten-free, it will only be available at the middle, so please come from where you are, go to the middle aisle, and then receive from there. Any questions? No? Good. Excellent. Please stand as we confess our common faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Holy Lord, mighty God, you have borne the sin of the world and given to us the promise of new and everlasting life. Receive our thanks for the glorious resurrection of Jesus the Christ. Bring us with him to our own joyful resurrection and the reunion of all your saints. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give peace, Lord, to our homes and enliven them by Christ's resurrected life. Let the forgiveness of sins reign among husbands and wives, parents and children. Assure those who live alone that they too are your children, upheld by your right hand. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, your healing and strength are the hope of all the weary and afflicted. Grant them patience and hope until that day when they put on new and glorious bodies raised by Christ and receive the end of all afflictions. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Most Holy Father, this is the feast of victory for the Lamb who has slain, who has begun his reign. By your Spirit, prepare us to receive his body and blood for the strengthening of our faith in this mortal life. Build in us anticipation for the marriage supper of the Lamb, which we and all the people of God shall feast upon his kingdom without end. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord, Heavenly Father, you have not let your Holy One see corruption, but have raised him in triumph from the dead, never to die again. Therefore, our hearts are glad, and we rejoice, for our flesh also dwells secure. Since you have set him at your right hand, lead us to set his resurrection before us at all times, that his path of life and the fullness of joy in his presence may be known to us, until we come also to the eternal praises at his right hand forevermore. For you, O Father, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, are one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
Remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Very good. Please take a moment, share the peace of the Lord with one another, and then be seated.
Jesus was crucified.
Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you steadfast in the one true faith to life everlasting. Depart in joy and in peace. Amen. Please stand for prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith that through our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Amen.
We have an introduction to the last hymn, so I'll cue you in on the Alleluia.